Acts 17, verse 15. Those escorting Paul went with him all the way to Athens. Then they returned to Berea with instructions for Silas and Timothy to hurry and join him. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. He went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. He also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, "What's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he's picked up?" Others said, "He seems to be preaching about some foreign god." Then they took him to the high council of the city. "Come and tell us about this new teaching," they said. "You are saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about." It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seemed to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. "Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, 'To an unknown God.' This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone, everywhere, to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead." When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, "We want to hear more about this later." That ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the council, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. And we trust that God will bless the reading from his word this evening. So there was Paul visiting Athens, and he discovered very quickly a very religious people. People who devoted much of their time and effort, it would appear, in worshipping God. Well, when you actually look at it a bit closer, you realise that they actually worship many gods. It seemed they weren't really too sure about God, so they had quite a number of gods. And it would also appear that due to their fear of God, or gods, that just in case they'd forgotten a god, they'd also raised up an altar to the unknown god. So, a very religious people. So Paul, on his wanderings in the city, spotted this. And you know, this just made me think of what we're like today. Perhaps there's some even here tonight, and you're in a similar position. Perhaps you can't quite see it like that, but perhaps you are in a similar position. You know, there are the voices in our world today, the great intellectuals in our world today who tell us that there is no God. There's nothing to fear. I was even on the buses in London apparently recently, telling people, you know, just live as you please. There's nothing to be afraid of. There is no God. So there's the intellectual's voice coming out to you tonight, telling you that there is no God. But perhaps here in your heart, you're really not too sure if they're right. You know, you like to be on the side of the smart people, but perhaps in your heart you're thinking, you know, what if they're not right? And perhaps there's a wee bit of fear in your heart that you're saying, you know, if there is a God, I don't think I'd like to offend him by not believing in him. And then you get sort of stuck there, don't you? Because you don't want to look stupid in this intellectual world of ours. And yet you also don't want to offend a God if there is a God. And just like the Athenians, you're stuck with the unknown God, because you don't really know him. So just like these Athenians, there you have your unknown God. So Paul tells them about the God that they did not know. And he begins there in verse 24 by revealing a God who is all powerful. One who created the heavens and the earth and everything in the earth. He was unlike the other gods that the Athenians knew. For this God did not depend on men. This God does not depend on mankind for anything. But it's in reverse, isn't it? For with this God, mankind is dependent on him for absolutely everything. Do you ever really think about it in that way? You know, I think you wouldn't be here tonight if somewhere in your heart you didn't believe that there is a God. You might not know him, but I'm pretty sure if you're here tonight, somewhere in here you think there is a God. But do you ever consider the fact that your entire life depends on him? Have you ever considered the fact that every single breath you take is given to you by him? That breath that you are breathing now, God is giving you that breath. And at any moment, he could decide that you have had your final breath and you would breathe no more. Your life is in his hands. Every single breath, you depend on God. Now, perhaps, you know, some people might have a problem when you start talking about things like these. You know, a God who created the heavens, a God who created all those galaxies. You know, even the smartest of men today, we still don't know how many galaxies there are. And we guesstimate the number of stars that exist in the galaxies. And it's when people start talking about a God who just created these things that some people have a problem. You see, it's because of all the creation stuff that Christians come out with that the world laughs at people who believe in God. And perhaps there are people who say, you know, why can't you Christians just accept that the scientific world, the smartest brains on the planet, have proof that everything just came from a big bang, and that everything around us evolved over millions and millions of years. Why can't you Christians just accept that? Well, you know, I just can't accept it, because to me it is just so much folly and foolishness. And I want to just try and illustrate it to you in a simple way this evening. What else has he got in that bag, you're asking? I have here, I don't know if any of you have ever seen anything like this before, it's called paper automata. Don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but turn the wheel and the sheep jump up and down. Nice wee entertaining toy. But don't let the kids get hold of it. It came in a book, like this. Came in a book. And all these wee animals were flat on the pages. Now, I bought this book for my son, Mark, who's not here tonight, and I'm pretty sure he's glad of that again. Mark's interested in engineering, and I thought I would challenge Mark to see just how interested he is in engineering, because this requires a bit of patience and a bit of skill. But they come in the book, and they came in the book, and we sat it on the table after Mark's birthday. It was left lying on the table, as a lot of things are with Mark. And do you know what happened, boys? You'll never believe what happened. Magic book. We left that book on the table overnight, and when we came back down the stairs the following morning, we had four toys just sitting there. Four toys just like this. They just all appeared. Jumped out of the book. Made themselves. Do you believe me? Don't believe me, do you? Why don't you believe me? Because it's totally stupid, isn't it? How could it possibly make itself? No, Mark actually did have to do something. He had to cut out all the pieces of paper. And then he had to follow the instructions that were given. And he had to fold bits, and he had to cut bits, and he had to glue bits. And once he followed all the instructions to the letter, he had a working toy. He actually had four working toys. You see, it really needed somebody to create it, didn't it? Somebody had to put it together. You know, here's another book. This is another one that was bought for Mark for his birthday. This was bought by his sister, who has an awful lot more confidence in his brother than his dad has. Because this is a paper clock. Paper clock. And you'll find in here all loads of instructions and things to cut out and glue together. And, you know, we're still waiting for it to pop up out the page and make itself, because Mark's not touching this one. Now, some folk might say, you know, that's not really a very fair comparison. Because there's no life in pieces of paper. So how could they ever have made themselves anyway? Well, my response to that one is this. There is no life in dust. We are made of dust. The life comes from God. God is the one who gave life. The dust would have sat there for eternity. But God formed from the dust you and me. And God breathed into us the breath of life. Life comes from the Creator. Without the Creator, there was no life. And so Paul tells these Athenians that their unknown God is the God who built the universe. He's the God who built this planet that we live on. He's the God who built everything that sits on this planet and under the planet and in the seas and up in the sky. He is the creator of all things. He is the giver of life. And then Paul turns to these people and he says, and this God, this all-powerful God, now commands you to repent. He commands you to repent. To turn away from your selfish life and turn to God. Your Creator commands this of you tonight. Turn from your selfish life. Turn from that life that is full of sin. That life that you are just living out for your own ends. Turn from that life and turn to God. Turn to Him. For He says, this Almighty God. Glad the wee man's got that one. This Almighty God, it's like a warning to you, dear friend. He is warning you that He has a day fixed in His calendar. A day when He will judge this world. God has a calendar, dear friend, and He doesn't alter the dates on His calendar. He had a date fixed when He would send His Son into the world to be your Saviour. He has a date fixed when the Lord Jesus Christ will return again to take everyone who's trusted in Him home. He has a date fixed when He will judge this world. And He will judge the world by that man that He has appointed, that one we know as Jesus Christ. You see, dear friends, you have a choice with regards to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can trust Him as your Saviour, or you can meet Him as your judge. I want you to think a wee bit about that one. Right now, you can trust Him as your Saviour. But if you reject Him, you will meet Him as your judge. I think it's absolutely marvellous that God ever provided us with salvation. I think it is truly amazing the love that God has for you and me. That He should even consider providing salvation for you. For we have rejected Him. We turned our backs on Him. We decided that God's way was not for us. We decided that we wanted to be our own God, and that we would decide what we were going to do with our life, and that we knew better than He did, and that we could do a better job than He could. And yet we can't. And yet still God says, I can change things for you. I have provided a way of salvation for you. I have provided a way for you to come back to Me. And dear friend, He has done so much for you that, to be perfectly honest, I can't take it all in. He has sent His own Son to be your Saviour. His own Son. He sent Him into this world to be your Saviour. And Jesus Christ, praise God for Him. Jesus came into this world. He left heaven. He left all the splendour and the glory and the joys of heaven. And He came into this world, knowing everything that lay before Him. He came here because He too loves you in an incredible way. He came to give his life for you. Dear friend, does it not touch your heart at all when you think about what Jesus has done for you? When you think about him laying down his life on that cross, just handing his life over to sinful men. You know, he had the power. He had the power to just cast these men straight into hell. He could have spoken a word and these men could have just disappeared straight into hell. But he allows men to take him. And he allows these men to abuse him. To do things, dear friend, that I just cannot get to grips with at all. But he lets men abuse him and he lets men nail him and hang him on a cross. But then, that's not even the beginning of it all. Because what took place on that cross, dear friend? You know, I just can't stop praising God for what took place on that cross for me. During those hours of darkness, God took my sin and lay it on his Holy Son. And God took your sin, every filthy sin that you've ever committed, even all the thousands of sins that you've forgotten. He took every single sin from you and he laid it on his Son. And then he punishes him. You know, I can't understand that. That Christ is punished because of all the wrong that I've done. But that's what he had to do in order to save me. And that's what he had to do in order to save you. But he did it. He did it because he loves you. He did it because he wants you to be saved. He does not want you to experience his judgment. He does not want you to experience the judgment of a holy and righteous God. He does not want you to go to hell. He does not want you to experience the lake of fire. He wants you to be with him. He wants you to be in heaven. He wants you to be a member of the family of God. And it's only you that's stopping it all. It's only because of your stubbornness, or your selfishness, or your pride. For you can come to him tonight. You can know him as your personal saviour. You can become a child of God tonight. You can be guaranteed a home in heaven tonight. But you have to take that step. You have to tell the Lord Jesus. Admit that you are a sinner. And thank him for dying on that cross for you. It's not a hard thing to do, is it? He's not asking you to run around the planet. He just asks you to believe. To believe what he has done for you. It's your choice. You know, it's sad to think that, isn't it? But if one day you do happen to find yourself in hell, and honestly, God forbid that that should happen, but should you find yourself there, you'll only be there because you choose to be there. You chose to be there because you chose to reject God's salvation. You chose to reject Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Is that the choice you really want to make?
Do you really consider yourself a smart person? Surely a smart person wouldn't make that kind of choice.
You know, when Paul was explaining to the Athenians of all that Jesus did, and he told them all of how Jesus died on that cross, and he died there for you and me, but he told them of a God who raised him again the third day, raised him back to life. You know, dear friend, that could be your hope. The Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with sin and he's dealt with death. And for the believer, sin and death no longer carry the fear that they once did. But if you trust him, then your sins are forgiven. God has guaranteed that. And should death take you, then it no longer carries the fear, because death just takes you to God. It takes you into the presence of God, into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't take you to hell. There is no longer a fear then. But you have to trust him. You have to accept him. And it was at this point, you know, that many just turned to Paul and they just laughed at him. And there was other people who said, "Ah, that's interesting. We'll need to hear you again on this one, Paul." You know, that's a mistake as well, isn't it? They decided that, you know, you might have something going there. You might have something. But I'm not too sure. I'll need to leave that for another day. You know, that's fine. That's fine to leave things till another day, as long as you can guarantee that you'll be there that day. Now, can anybody here tonight guarantee that they'll be here next week? Can you guarantee that you'll have another chance next week? I mean, if you can, you must be unique in this earth. Because the Bible tells us, and so does your intellect, because God speaks through that too. He tells you that you cannot guarantee that. You cannot guarantee that you will still be alive tonight. Never mind next week. You don't know if you'll have a tomorrow. Never mind the next week. Now is the accepted time, because now is the only time you have. Literally. Now is the only time you'll ever have. But praise God, there were those who heard him, and there were those who believed. They believed. Will you be amongst them tonight? Will you believe? Will you just accept him? Trust him. Tonight. It is, as we say it again, it is your choice. Shall we pray? Our Father, once more we come into thy presence in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, again we just give thanks to thee for your salvation, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our God, for your amazing love towards us. A love, our God, that we know we do not deserve. But Father, how we praise thee that you do love us. And how we praise thee, our God, that you have provided a Saviour. And how we praise thee, our God, for one who paid the price in full. And Father, we come to thee tonight and we're praying, our God, for any souls gathered in this place tonight who are still lost. Any souls, our God, who still carry the burden of their sin. Father, we bring them before thee and we pray, our God, that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, Father, help them to see the truth. and help them, our God, to take that step of faith, and help them, our God, to know their sins forgiven, and to know what it is to be a child of God. Father, we cannot do this for them. Father, we need Thee, and we pray for Thee, we pray for Thy blessing, and we ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we do again just give, we thank you again for just coming along tonight. We thank you for listening. And if there is anything at all that we have said tonight that you don't understand, then my plead with you is this. I don't even know if that made sense. But what I'm trying to say is don't walk away if you don't understand. These things are far too important just to walk away. Ask the question, honest. I will not bite you. And if there's somebody here that you trust more than me, and I'm sure there is, you know, ask them. You know, we honestly love you. You might think, you know, I don't even know you. But I still love you. And there's folk here who love you more than I do, who care for you more than I do. And if you don't understand anything, then ask them. And get this sorted out. You need to trust Him. You need to accept Him. You don't want to face Jesus as your judge. Thank you.